Casting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia, this is CJSF 90.1 FM.
You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization by Dan Pontefract. Last show, we were looking at establishing role-based purpose. A number of researchers are certainly not the only professionals to come to the realization that there is a job, career, and purpose mindset demarcation with respect to workplace roles. Author Chip Conley, for example, suggested in his book Peak, How Great Companies Get Their Mojo from Maslow, said, quote, "When someone finds meaning in their work, they like what they do each day, in other words, without meaning at work, meaning they aren't enthused by the company's mission, it is much less likely that there is a halo effect or indirect payoff in helping to improve their commitment with the organization." Again, there's a lot riding on role-based purpose for both the organization and the team member. It should be of no surprise, but it is the organization that defines all roles needed to carry out its strategy and mission. An individual applies for a role, full-time, part-time, or contingent, and performs any of the duties required in order to be remunerated. Those roles could end up being highly engaging or excruciatingly transactional for a team member. The organization creates the role, but it is the individual, of course, who must perform into it. What seems like workplace bliss for one team member may be painful for another. The more alignment there is, the more a team member believes in the organization's purpose and its relationship to their personal purpose alongside the role they occupy, the greater likelihood that there is for an individual to reach the purpose mindset and thus the sweet spot. If this happens on a continuous basis, both the organization and the team member will have created the purpose effect. What happens to the team member, however, is if they happen to detest the role. What of those who are fixated on bullying their way to larger teams, fancier titles, or greater power? What if the organization permits the operating culture to collapse, falling hard into the world devoid of collaboration or openness? Enron, Nortel, and Volkswagen are examples of organizations that fell from grace, dismantling any sense of organizational purpose in the process. Johnsonville Sausage, Box of Crayons, and TELUS are organizations that have defined their purpose in order that customers, team members, and society get equal billing and profitability. Do these team members find it easier to demonstrate purpose in their role than those working in organizations without a strong purpose? The rest of this chapter is devoted to the job, career, and purpose mindsets that make up the third and final component of the purpose effect, the role purpose. Team members tend to occupy one, two, or all three of these mindsets, and as a result of the makeup of their role, their purpose, their personal purpose, and of course the organizational purpose. So we have three circles feeding into each other. We have job, feeding into career, feeding into purpose, that feeds back into satisfaction of the job. Next section, making Mary merry. Mary Hewitt was not the first team member I'd ever dismissed, but she was and continues to be the most memorable. When I started working at Crystal Decisions in 2002 as an education director, Mary held the title of trainer. She'd been performing the role for 3 years prior to my arrival. As a trainer, she would traverse the North American continent, delivering different types of instructor-led classes to customers, partners, and employees alike. When Mary was back in the office, away from the airplanes and training rooms, it provided a chance for the two of us to catch up on her well-being, the team, and so on. It is fair to say that we did not exactly get along at first. Those early conversations through my initial year as leader were at best perfunctory and at worst labored. After a year or so, I invited Mary into one of the breakout rooms and asked how she was doing. I wondered if she was truly feeling good, full of meaning, but by immediately shifting the focus to our conversation, Mary indicated she would be extremely grateful if I could eliminate some of the travel in her role. In fact, she hated being a trainer, particularly because of the travel. After some personal shuffling, Mary switched roles and became a courseware developer, parking herself each day in the office chair rather than an economy class airplane seat. After a year or so, Mary and I began having more conversations, this time focusing on her career and on her life. Over a period of time and plenty of discussions, Mary shifted into a project management role. She remained grounded, working only in Vancouver. And one day, after roughly a year in the new role and getting the sense that things were not quite right, I pulled Mary aside again and asked, "Do you think it is time you embarked on something that really is of interest? Do you know your true calling?" Perhaps it was tough love. Maybe it was my attempt to help her find her why, her bliss, her purpose. Whatever the case, it turns out Mary was feeling the same way. In fact, she wanted out. We then figured out a way to terminate her contract together with a severance package, and she went out the front door of the office ready to begin seeking her personal purpose. She was escaping the job mindset that had characterized her roles as trainer, courseware developer, and project manager. Her focus now was on developing, defining, and deciding her new why. She took no issue with the organization. In fact, she loved volunteering, being part of the team's community involvement, and to this day remains dear friends with several ex-colleagues. But she simply had been occupying time in various roles that were not fulfilling her personal purpose. The alignment between personal, organizational, and role purpose was missing. Mary needed to seek out and establish the sweet spot. For the next several years, she continued to develop, define, and decide who she was going to be in life and at work. We continued to meet from time to time as well. Eventually, she meandered back into social work, achieving another master's degree. And then it all came together. Today, her working life is now dedicated to the betterment of those in need. Mary works with personal and role purpose as a clinical therapist in Halifax at the Nova Scotia Health Authority, an organization that builds itself a community of caring, compassionate people who care deeply about health, healing, and learning. One aspect of Mary's story relates to her perseverance. She did not let the trappings of a job or paycheck mentality become a lifetime crunch. It took a while, but she eventually figured out her ideal path. She also refused to climb the corporate ladder for more pay or power. Mary was steadfast and determined to find an organization that matched her redefined personal purpose. Put differently, she had to first rediscover her goals and her interests, and then she had to seek out an organization and a role that matched. "I realized and then decided," Mary informed me, "that what I get paid to do needs to fit with what I know and feel to be my personal purpose." She knows some jobs and even some tasks in a job will not always be rewarding. But along her journey, she discovered a key difference. "Where it became soul-destroying was when I realized I had done the work for a paycheck job mindset for so long that I was out of alignment with my principles, values, and beliefs. They were still at my core, but my core had gotten very small and personally harder and harder for me to connect with. But there was another lesson," Mary shared with me. "Certainly, not everything I do, even now, fits exactly with my personal purpose. I had to realize that some of the uncomfortable steps are still in the overall picture, contradictory to my overall purpose." Mary had recognized that any role in an organization is going to be made of elements from the job, career, and purpose mindsets. But, she says, "by recognizing that personal purpose is not always consistent with what I get paid to do, I get to make conscious, informed choices. The paycheck job mindset may, in fact, be enabling the steps toward role purpose." Role purpose is tricky. Mary's story demonstrates that it can take a while to achieve as well. As we explore the rest of this chapter, keep in mind Mary's last point. More often than not, a role will be made up of aspects of the job and career mindsets. How one defines their personal purpose and how the organization demonstrates its purpose will be factors in achieving role purpose. But there will always be an element of a role that are uncomfortable. Perhaps it is the alignment between personal and organizational purpose that predicts whether the majority of time spent in a role can be accomplished with purpose. Let's next delve specifically into the job mindset and understand its makeup.
You are listening to CJSF
90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC, but it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional futurist. Welcome back. We are looking at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization by Dan Pontefract. We're looking at the section Establishing Role-Based Purpose. Next section, The Job Mindset. Authors, John Hagel, John Seeley Brown, Alok Ranjan, and Daniel Beiler discovered a passion gap in the American workforce. The researchers found close to 90% of workers were not able to contribute to their full potential due to a lack of passion for their work. Not surprisingly, they also found that only 12% of the workforce possesses the attributes that define a passionate worker. The authors suggest that the so-called passion gap is important to pay attention to because passionate workers are committed to continually achieving higher levels of performance. If one occupies a job mindset, working in a role to carry out transactional duties solely in return for a paycheck, can an increased level of passion lead to increasing in an individual's role? Or can the job mindset invoke any level of passion? Mary was arguably devoid of passion in various roles when she worked with me, leading to the job mindset. But once she developed, defined, and decided her personal purpose, she quickly established her new passions and the sweet spot materialized, aided by the role and the organization that created the alignment. Passion is one element related to a meaningful role and potentially mitigating the job mindset. But so too is enthusiasm. Oxford Strategic Consulting backs up this claim. OSC is a human capital consultancy business doing work in Europe and countries that make up the Gulf Cooperation Council, or the GCC. It suggests that engagement is mainly impacted by three factors. Firstly, one's immediate leader or line manager, which contributes about 40%. Secondly, an individual's own propensity for enthusiasm and positivity, 40%. And the current work environment, 20%. Perhaps passion and enthusiasm are underserved attributes in the makeup of today's team member, which may be causing the job mindset to materialize more easily. When someone possesses a job mindset, purpose is not the goal for the individual. They are content with the paycheck and possess no aspiration for a higher level of meaning or work. Further, the job mindset can become the result when poor team dynamics negative leadership practices and an organization's misaligned purpose and culture are paramount. Many of these patterns and symptoms were surfaced in chapters 3 and 4. Furthermore, if the team member has developed far too many extrinsic motivators as a basis for role happiness, they will undoubtedly remain in a job mindset. Indeed, Ratan Tata, former chairman of the Tata Group in India, believes far too many organizations have been constructed around extrinsic motivators, such as individual prerequisites, financial rewards, as well as the fear of reprimand or the potential loss of one's role. This potentially negates any possibility of a team member demonstrating behavior linked to intrinsic motivation. Doing good for the sake of feeling good becomes far less possible. Tata noted in MIT Sloan magazine, quote, "There's mounting evidence that employees throughout the world are hungering to find and bring their values to work," unquote. But unfortunately for the individual, they have not felt comfortable in doing so. Place yourself for a moment in a medical clinic, hospice, or hospital. No doubt you have been in one of these environments at one time or another, either as a patient or as a trusty supporter of some sort. When you interact with one of the professionals, be it the desk administrator, nurse, anesthetist, technician, or doctor, among others, you immediately can recognize if the person you are conversing with is either there for the money or they are effortlessly doing and working on cloud nine in their assigned role. You recognize the signs, like the Big Dipper might shine brightly on a starry summer night. Is the nurse devoid of a smile, audibly exasperated as you begin listing your symptoms? When you approach the front desk to admit your family member, does the administrator even look up from the computer screen they are mesmerized by, possibly enthralled by a game of solitaire? Then there is the X-ray technician, who does not seem to care about how hard he plays the lead apron vest on your chest. Compare these overtly job mindset individuals with medical professionals who seem to effortlessly float on the floors they patrol. Recall the attendant who not only smiles but jokes around with you, describes an ailment that has become bothersome. How about the doctor who does not simply rush in and out of the windowless room you have been waiting in, but sits down with zeal and curiosity, truly wanting to get to know what discomforts you? What of the pinstripe-clothed volunteer who easily smiles, handing out lollipops to those passing by? My favorite is the retirement home caregiver who treats everyone in their vicinity, the deaf, incoherent, able-bodied visitors or colleagues, as though they have been a lifelong best friend. Regardless of salary or title, these individuals seem as though they are truly purpose-filled professionals, intrinsically motivated in their roles and likely in their life overall. Previously, I suggested that a job mindset refers to someone who believes they are employed to perform transactional duties in return for compensation and not much else. For a portion of the population, job mindset is perfectly fine. They want nothing from work other than the paycheck. These types of individuals fully understand the social contract between team member and employer. They do not seek to rock the boat, nor do they expect anything more than the wage and possibly any health care and related benefits that accompany such employment situation. Some organizations refer to this as peace and pay. For those within the particular job mindset, their entire sense of identity and personal purpose might be found elsewhere in their lives. The individual possessing job mindset that accepts and acknowledges the job is in fact a remuneration transaction, will demonstrate a job mindset, perhaps peace and pay, that is otherwise harmless to the organization. It may not be great for innovation, levels of increased productivity, or decreased instances of absenteeism, but it does not cause any major detrimental issue either. There's always going to be a percentage of the team members in the organization who have this type of job mindset. Indeed, peace and pay is a rather appropriate term for them. Thus, far greater concern, however, rests with team members who are not aligned with the organization or cannot figure out why they're even in the role that actually provides them with a paycheck. It could be the result of not properly establishing their personal purpose, being significantly misaligned with the organization's purpose, or perhaps the duties laid out in the role they hold and are causing ruinous or questionable behavior. When a team member spends far too much time within the job mindset and who does not demonstrate peace and pay, it creates issues for both team members and the organization. The job mindset can result in any number of disengagement issues identified earlier. Of course, everyone must recognize there will be aspects of their role where they will have to perform boring, tactical, and perhaps repetitive tasks. There is no role in any organization where all the job description requirements will match one's personal purpose. A call center and agent may not like solving a particular problem with a customer who is abusive or loud. A project manager may not like having to chase after colleagues for overdue actions. A CEO may not like discussing particulars of the past year at an annual general meeting with the public. I do not know of anyone who actually enjoys submitting expense reports, but they're all facts of particular roles, disliked actions everyone must come to terms with. In summary, all team members will have to come to grips with the job mindset. It is inevitable. It is unavoidable. What is the larger question to answer? Will team members temporarily find themselves in the job mindset? Is this mindset permanent and the result of misalignment between personal and organizational purpose? Or is it a choice to be simply remunerated for the tasks accomplished? The job mindset can be detrimental to the purpose effect, so the sweet spot is ever being created. The job mindset wreaks havoc on the alignment between the team member and the organization. What you will do to avoid it, temper it, if not eliminate it. I believe I post some strategies in Chapter 8 and 9. For now, let us investigate the next type of mindset, the career mindset.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
Listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
Diverse, independent, yours. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, BC.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Viewpoints. On this week's show, a local eatery's Friday favorite, fish and chips, will soon be featured in an international cookbook.
What's the most popular pub food? It's fish and chips. You know, we're notorious for it. Certainly, the place is full every Friday for Fish Friday, and it might be the most popular item on our menu.
Winnipeg's new green spaces plan puts Indigenous knowledge at the forefront. The new policy aims to conserve and expand green spaces by 1,000 acres.
So by moving